for your ministry to us today. And we miss your hubby today. Sorry he's not feeling well. Amen. Thanks for filling in for him. Boy, that last line of that song always gets me. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Why would we do that? I don't know, but we do. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Great song. In our first message in this series entitled The Family of God, we looked at the family of the local church. And we talked about the requirements for being part of the family. Amen. It takes believing. Amen. That's still important. There's a lot of churches that don't believe anything, and anybody can join here any reason. Listen, we still require that folks believe here. Amen. Believing, we're a group of believers that are gathered together tonight. And then not only believing, but baptizing. Baptizing. Listen, if you're going to be a member of this church, you need to be baptized in deep water after salvation, not as a part of salvation. Amen. But as a testimony that you are saved. And then not only believing in baptizing, but belonging. Being part, amen, wanting to be part, desiring to be part. And then we talked about how it also requires behaving. Boy, that's not taught very much anymore. It's not preached very much about anymore. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, a Christian ought to act like a Christian. By the way, I think a church service ought to be a church service and not a rock concert. Yeah, boy, I tell you, Brother Jim, I'm a weak believer. You'd never think that. I'm a weak believer. You know, I'm weak when it concerns rock music. I remember what that did in my life. And the truth is, when I go into a store and my ear tunes into something I heard 25 years ago, and I mentioned about playing the drums this morning, I taught myself how to play the drums. And you know how I did that? By listening to music over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And so I'll pick up things. And I can't imagine what it's like to go into a church where you hear that same rock beat.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's not very considerate of weaker believers, I'll tell you that right now. And lest your liberty become a stumbling block to them that are weak. All things are lawful, Paul said. Not all things are expedient, amen. That wasn't even in the notes. All that's free, hallelujah, amen. Behaving is what we were talking about. Christians acting like Christians. And then we looked in our second message. We looked not only at the family of the local church, but we looked at the membership of the local church and how there was a mandate. Jesus said he would build his church. And there were some metaphors. We're called believers. We're called the building, and he's our cornerstone. We're called the body, and he's our head. And we're called the bride, and he's our groom. And then we looked at some membership and some things about membership and how it is a big deal to be a member of a church and how there are some baseline requirements. Amen. We talked about those already. And there's a basis, and the basis is presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. And then we talked about the beauty of membership and what a beautiful thing it is. And then last week, we looked at the authority of the local church. The authority of the local church. And what is the authority of the local church? Is it the pastor? No. Is it the deacon board? No. Is it congregational government? No. It's this book right here. This book is the authority. All Scripture is given to us by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. Right here, this book. And so we looked at the origin of the church. We looked at the ownership of the church. We looked at the originality of the church and how local churches are different. We looked at the officers of the church, pastors and deacons. We looked at the ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. We looked at the offerings of the church and the order of the church. And ladies and gentlemen, every bit of what we know about the church and how the church is governed comes from this book. From this book right here. So this week, the title of our message is The Pattern of the Church. The Pattern of the Church. And we started there in Acts chapter 2 and then went through the end of the chapter. You know, one does not have to look around for very long to see that the God of the Bible is a God of order and pattern. You see, I mentioned this morning about the stars. You look up in the stars and it's amazing to me. We live in the days, I preached a few weeks ago and talked about how when we used to travel from place to place and we had the maps, amen. And then we got like those little triptychs you'd get from AAA, amen. They'd have a little thing and they'd highlight the maps. And then you got GPSs. Remember GPSs? Some of you are like, yeah, I still have one, amen, right there in my car. They put those on the car. And then now, right in your phone, you have, I mean, literally, you type in an address and you can get there. Do you know how they used to navigate around the world, Brother Jack? By the stars. Do you know why they could do that? Because our God is a God of pattern and order. They do the same things. Hey, do you know why the sun rises in the east and sets in the west? I don't either, but I know it does. Because God is a God of pattern and order. Think about the calendar. God is a God of pattern and order. I think about processes that we take for granted. You know, when you take in oxygen, you expel carbon dioxide. Aren't you glad it's not the other way around? That'd be rough. Do you know when you do that, it helps other things grow? You know, the product of photosynthesis is amazing. The process of photosynthesis is absolutely amazing. That God takes light and water and grows things. Because He's a God of path. I think one of the most amazing things you could see in the United States is the Continental Divide. Anybody ever been to the Continental Divide? Do you know that a raindrop that falls on the west side of the Continental Divide goes to the Pacific Ocean? And a raindrop that falls an inch away on the east side goes to the Atlantic Ocean. Isn't that amazing? Say, what is that? That's our God. He's a God of pattern. I think about as you read through Genesis and the importance of Genesis, particularly chapters 1 and 2, amen, really up through chapter 11, the devil's been trying to destroy that for years. Really, now a century has put his crosshairs on Genesis 1 through 11. And the reason is because there's so much important. You know what you learn from Genesis chapter 1 is that everything brings forth after its kind, male and female. Listen, I hate to be I don't want this to be a hobby horse. I don't want to be a Johnny One Note on this kind of stuff. But ladies and gentlemen, it's right there in the Bible, and it's right there for our eyes to see. Male and female. Male and female. Let me say it again. Male and female. Amen. And you see it right there. It's our God. He's a God of order. You know, when I think of the orderliness of God, I think of the human body. The human body. I'm telling you, literally, there are. I remember when we went down to see little Drew when he was having his shunt surgery, and we went down and was able to talk to Mr. Gilbert literally all morning, talked to Tom's dad, and it was wonderful. And Pastor Donald was able to talk to Tom and Jen, and we were just fellowshipping back and forth, and they were talking about why he needed a shunt surgery. And Brother Lem, they were mentioning that there are these two little tubes in the back of your skull that were kind of plugged up, and there's no way to stint them or anything like that. And so the only thing and I thought to myself, there are entire fields of medicine, Brother Jim, that are devoted to those two little tubes. I mean, people spend their whole life studying, researching, and trying to help people that have problems with those two little tubes. You know how much, if the body is this big, you know how much those two little tubes are? About this big. That's how complex your body is. And that's how orderly your body is. I've said it before, aren't you glad your arm isn't in the middle of your head? Yeah. That'd be a mess. Now some of you say, no, that'd be fine, I could reach things, amen, right up there. Brother Kent Hovan used to do a piece on having a tail and how they thought that the tail had died off. That man once had a tail and all that. And Brother Hovan said, have you ever thought about how handy a tail would be? You got your hand full of groceries and you just walk up to the door and open the door with your tail. Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? No, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Our God is a God of order. Amen. And a God of pattern. I think of the human body. Think of the pattern of the human body. Think of your brain and how it is completely protected by your skull. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that billions of years of evolution would make that happen? Yeah, that would be pretty amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, that's really amazing. I always say I don't have enough faith to believe in evolution. That's some faith right there. No, I believe that God created the human body out of the dust of the earth. And he did so in pattern. So you don't have to look at the creation of God for long to see our God as a God of pattern and order. And I want to look tonight, if we could, at a very simple message out of Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 on the pattern of the local church. God has given us a pattern for the local church, that we see some characteristics that are part of the local church that ought to pattern every church. Every church ought to have these. Let me give you number one. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And I think for the most of the message will be in Acts chapter 2. But we see something here. I believe, boy, I'll tell you the importance of this, and it seems to be, I want to say dying out. I don't think that's necessarily true, but I guess not as important. I was convicted about it today in my own personal devotions in regards to this subject. But look at verse number 14. And you remember what Jesus had said to the disciples. He said, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. So I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait. And the Bible says there in verse 14, it gives us the whole list there in verse 13. And it says, these all continued with one accord in what? Prayer and supplication with the women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with his brethren. I believe the first part of the pattern of the local church is that the church would be about prayer. 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 I read a quote, and it's not an original quote. I think it was Vance Havner that said, Sunday morning shows you how popular the church is. Sunday evening shows you how popular the preacher is. And prayer meeting shows you how popular God is. I think that's an accurate statement. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, a pattern of the church is that we would be about prayer. Several things that the early church prayed for. If you've got your Bibles there, go to Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4. And boy, I think we ought to be praying about this nowadays, just the very same. Look at verse number 23, please. It says, and being let go, they went into their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God in one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by thy mouth, by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And boy, this is pretty familiar, amen. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had what? This whole time they were praying. They were talking to God. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. By the way, if you want a verse on the filling of the Holy Ghost, that's a good one right there. Full of the Holy Ghost, you'll speak the word of God with boldness. So what did they pray for? I'll tell you what they prayed for here. Courage. Grant unto thy servants that they may speak the word with boldness. They prayed for courage. A couple other passages. We don't have time to read the whole thing, but in Acts chapter 1, really verse 15 through 26, they prayed for guidance. Lord, lead us, help us as we consider Judas's replacement. Chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, when Peter was in prison, they prayed for deliverance. They prayed that he would be delivered. Acts chapter 13 and verse 4 and 14, they prayed for their missionaries. Ladies and gentlemen, what are you trying to say, Pastor? Listen, a church ought to be about prayer. Prayer. Prayer ought to categorize a church. I love the fact that we have prayer meeting. As long as I'm your pastor, we will have prayer meeting. If you decide that you do not want to come to prayer meeting anymore, we're still going to have prayer meeting. Amen. I feel for pastors and churches that are closing down prayer meeting. Brother Jim, most times it's because folks don't come. That's not a good reason, by the way. That means you need more prayer, not less prayer. Amen. So prayer is the first thing we see here in the pattern of a local church. Let me give you something else. Go to chapter 2 of Acts. Verse 1. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Jump down to verse number 5. It says, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven." I think the first part of the church that we see is prayer. I think the second part we see is people. People. Amen? You had two groups of people here. You had, in verse 1, you had the saved. And then if you look down to verse 5 and all the way down through verse number 13, you have all those lists, amen, especially verse 9, you have Parthians and Medes and Edomites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya and Cyrene and Romans of the Jews and proselytes and Cretes and Arabians. All those, I heard a preacher preaching on this one time. He's having trouble reading all those. He said, "Man, if I lived there, I'd move and change my address, amen, and I wouldn't have to say that long word, amen." The church is about people. I was talking to somebody today and talking about all these things and what's going on in our country, and particularly in our city, and how one of the great things that the other side is saying on a particular issue is that this will not affect churches. That's a lie. Listen to me. That's a black lie from hell. You know why? I'll give you an example. They're talking about, churches need to redo their constitution to talk about members-only policies. Do you know what members only, listen, and there are some good members only policies, and we need to have some, amen? But you know, particularly about weddings, do you know members only policy doesn't allow you to reach out to people that maybe are in sin right now, but would like to get out of it, and could use some spiritual help to get out of it? I got thinking about that. And you say, "Well, we're going to adopt it." I said, it's like putting up a 15-foot high razor wire fence and then having a sign that says, "Welcome." Yeah, it doesn't really, listen, yes, praise God, the church needs to be made up, the membership needs to be made up of the saved, amen? But it sure needs to be open to sinners. Otherwise, it's not a church, really. Listen, we're supposed to be after sinners. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But not only prayer, but people, that we'd be interested in people, amen, that we'd be interested in people. And we'd be interested in reaching people and helping people and growing people. Prayer, people. Verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come." You know what I see there? Something that definitely ought to categorize a church? Patience. What do you mean, Pastor? Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem till they were endued with power. Miss Kim, they had to wait. I don't know about you. I hate waiting for anything. I'm telling you. I shouldn't say that. The only thing I enjoy waiting for is the Thanksgiving turkey. Because the whole house reminds me that my wait is going to have an end. But other than that, I don't like waiting for things. I just don't. We live in the generation of fast food, amen? And it better be real fast, otherwise I'm going to give you a piece of my mind about it. That's not patience. The Bible talks about letting patience have her perfect work. In this church, they were patient. Can I give you some things that we ought to be patient about? We ought to be patient with God's timing. You know the story of Acts chapter 1 and how the apostles selected somebody. Was it God's selection? It's not a trick question. No, it wasn't. They selected somebody to replace Judas. God had Paul to replace Judas, didn't he? And by the way, lest we be too hard on the apostles, have you ever been impatient with God's timing? Yeah, daily. Amen. Okay. Something else we ought to be patient with. We ought to be patient with sinners.
Yes.
I'm thankful somebody was patient with me. I can't imagine. I go back and I love to talk to my pastor about this. And I said, you know, I went to an independent Baptist church with hair as long as Miss Lindsay's for 9 months. 9 months. And not one person gave me a hard time about my hair length. Not one person. And I thank God for a church that was patient with a sinner. We ought to be patient with sinners. Oh, listen, by the way, there are limits. I know the other side would tell us, love. Yes, we do love. And there are limits to love right here. There are some limits that are laid. But we ought to be patient. By and large, we ought to be patient. Hey, we ought to be patient with babes in Christ. They're just babes. I think about it. I have a friend on Facebook, and he's a dear believer. And he was telling me that not too long ago, I think probably 4 or 5 years ago, he was trying to witness, and somebody told him, well, if you can't do it just this way, then you ought not to share the Word of God. And I thought to myself, are you kidding me? If somebody wanted to share the Word of God, Miss Judy, in any way, shape, or form, if they're burning for God, I want to take that blanket and fan that flame. Amen. They're a babe in Christ. They may not know how to do everything, but thank God they're out there sharing the Word of God. Amen. We ought to be patient with babes in Christ. Can I say something else? We ought to be patient with each other.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Forgiving one another and forbearing one another. Aren't you glad God's patient with you?
Amen.
It's not easy sometimes. And all God's people said, prayer is a pattern of the church. People are a pattern of the church. Patience is a pattern of the church. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. You know, a place ought to characterize a church. I know there are folks, and I can't believe through the years how I've run into them, there are folks that don't believe that a church ought to meet together. And I said, what? Oh, it's that organized religion. And you know, I think we covered that pretty well last week as far as where we get our marching orders from. But the Bible still says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, listen, some of our seasoned saints, you remember when the church of Mr. Jordan was down on Michigan Avenue. That was the place where you gathered. And there was a fire and couldn't gather there anymore. And so the church didn't just say, well, okay, we'll just all go to our individual houses and you pray at your place. And no, there came a point where, praise God, God gave you this property and you gathered together. Church ought to be at a place. I know the church started in homes. I understand that. Hey, I understand in communist China that they can't meet in the same place every time because the communists are watching them. But can I say this, Unc? They meet somewhere. Together. Amen? Meeting somewhere together. Boy, a church ought to have a place, and that place ought to be characterized by the teaching and preaching of God's Word and worship and fellowship. I love the fact that in our church, Wednesday, Sunday night. Brother Apple, we got to start turning off lights to get people out of here. Amen. I'm not picking on Brother Apple, but he's usually one of the culprits. He loves the fellowship. Amen. I love that. That's wonderful. You don't get that if you don't meet in a place with God's people. It's a pattern. Just like we have the patterns of the stars, and just like we have the patterns of creation and nature and male and female bringing forth in the human body, God has a pattern for His church: prayer, people, patience, a place. Verses 2 through 4 of chapter 2, please. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Chapter 1, verse 8, look at it there. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Say, what do we see? Chapter 4, verse 31, please, we read it already. I want to look at it again. It says there, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." What do you see here, Pastor? We see prayer, we see people, we see patience, we see a place, I see power. Power. Holy Spirit power in the church. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's the missing ingredient in most churches and sometimes in this church. Power. You see, we can have the right suit. Ma'am, you can have a dress that follows you like a wedding train for all I care. You can have that big old King James Bible. You can have gospel tracts in your pocket. You can have everything right. Can I say there was a group in the New Testament that had all that? They had everything right. They were called the Pharisees. And had no power. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to be guilty of a power shortage. If there was ever a day where we needed power, you say, "How do we get it, Pastor?" It's as simple as this. You've got as much as the whole of the Holy Spirit as you're ever going to have. You got Him all. Does He have all of you? If we're short on power, it's not because God's not omnipotent or all-powerful. It's because perhaps we're limiting Him in our lives, by our lives. Listen, they had power. God's power swept down on there. And they spake with other tongues, all these heard in their own tongue. Something else, verses 14 through 36 of chapter 2, we'll not read the whole thing there, but in verse 14 it starts with, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, ye know unto you, and this be known unto you, hearken unto my words." And I love what he says here. "For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." It's only 9 a.m. And they said, these guys are drunk. They're speaking in these strange tongues. Then if you jump down to verse 21, you kind of get to the heart of the message. It says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it is not possible that he should be holden of it." He goes on here, he said, what do we see? Number 6, Pastor, we have power and a place and patience and people in prayer. I said, we have preaching. The pattern of the church is preaching. The preaching of the Word of God. And let me just say a few things about preaching. Preaching ought to be scriptural. It ought to be scriptural. I've known preachers. I've heard preachers. And I'm kind of like Dr. Malone used to say this about preaching. He said, I like good preaching. I like bad preaching. I like long preaching. I like short preaching. And he said, I just love it when the Word of God is preached. And I think he got that from the Apostle Paul and said, look, I don't care who you are and why you preach. As long as you're preaching the Word of God, I'm for you. But I'll say this. When somebody preaches, they ought not to read a text and then go on a journey over land and sea to never return to it again. Preaching ought to be scriptural. Ought to be saturated with scripture. You ought to be able to take your pen and your Bible and say, that's right, and mark verses as the preacher preaches. I thank God I'm not much, and I know I'm not much. I know that. But I'll tell you one thing I am. I'm a Bible preacher. I'm a Bible preacher. Preach the Bible. Preaching ought to be scriptural. Preaching ought to be salvational. Listen, we're in the business, the Father's business, and the Father's business is the souls of men. I've heard about, as preachers had preached, that members would come to them, not here, different places, and say, you know, you're always preaching on salvation. Yes. Well, God help you if you think that.
Yeah.
There's a great song in our hymnal, I Love to Tell the Story. For those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. You know why? Because you remember when you got saved. You remember when God stirred your heart. Preaching ought to be scriptural. It ought to be salvational. And it ought to be stirring. It ought to be stirring. Preaching ought to... Listen, teaching is for the head. Preaching is for the heart. See, we hear teaching, we think, amen, yes, true, right. Preaching is supposed to do more than that. Preaching is supposed to move you to a decision. Teaching is teaching. It's just truth. But preaching ought to stir us. It ought to stir us to decision, to move closer to Christ, to make decisions, to forsake some things, to move closer to Him, to spend more time with Him. I'm telling you, had devotions today, got so convicted. As I was reading that devotion, I think, my goodness, I need to spend more time with Him. Preaching, power, place, patience, people, prayer. Number 7. Church ought to have purpose. Purpose. Appreciate Mr. Jordan. I love you, Brother Phil. He always tells me he's not in here right now. He just slipped out. He always introduces himself to me. He says, how's my favorite Pollock? He does. And I said, good. How's my favorite Dago? Amen. Because he's Italian. So that's our greeting that we have one another. And Mr. Jordan, almost always in men's prayer, he'll thank God for our church. And that our church cares about the souls of people. It cares about the needs of people. And I thought, you know, the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church. Yes, to bring glory to God. Absolutely. How do we do that? Purpose of the church ought to be to see people saved. Whatever we do, see people saved. See people baptized. That's chapter 2, verse 41. In both of those. Then they that gladly received His word. We're baptized. Salvation's baptism. And another purpose is to see people grow. Grow in the grace of God. Say, well, Pastor, why are you always harping on Sunday school and Wednesday night? Because it'll help you grow. Amen. It'll help you grow in the Lord. Purpose. Preaching. Power. Place. Patience. People. Prayer. You know, something else I see that's a pattern of the church, and that's the position. Look at verse 42 of chapter 2. The position. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together. You see, I see a few things here, this position, and the position is that of unity. We've talked about unity, and we try to preach unity, and we try to live unity, and I think for the most part we have unity, but there's always some disunity. And it's something that, again, getting back to the scriptures on this issue, listen, what I see is a unified in position. I see a common faith. Hey, one faith, one Lord. One baptism, Amen. One God in all, who's in all and above all and in us all. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. But not only a common faith, I see here a communal fellowship. It says, and all that believe were together. That they had fellowship one with another. And how important that is. That communal fellowship. And by the way, many have taken this passage and said, see, God wants communism. No, He doesn't either. I'm telling you, some people theologically are crippled way too high for crutches. I'm telling you that, really. They just, they don't understand that Acts is a transitional book. It moves from when there wasn't a church to when there was a church. When you get church doctrine, you go to the epistles. That's where you get your church doctrine. Right. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, the Thessalonian epistles. But there was fellowship. Can I ask you something? Don't get mad at me. I'm your pastor. I love you. And plus, I don't feel well tonight. So I can't be held accountable for what I say. Amen. When's the last time you went out with somebody from this church for a meal? When's the last today? Who said today? Mama Holy. Amen. Don't ruin my illustration, Mama Holy. Amen. When's the last time you had somebody from this church to your home? When? That's not just for pastors. And that's not just for deacons. Now, I know Sunday, pretty busy, Brother Jim, Miss Kim. But you know what? I know you guys fellowship on, don't tell anyone, but the Boston's fellowship at Steak and Shake on Sunday nights with people from this church. Don't tell anybody, though. It's just to be our little secret, amen? When's the last time? Nobody at this church likes me. Have you tried to go out of your way to fellowship with somebody? Yeah. If you haven't, yes. Do it. You might find out they do like you. They just hadn't had a chance to spend any time with you. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Now listen, I know we're busy and things going on in our lives, but boy, it would do us well to fellowship with other Christians. Not just at Wee Bowling, though I'm thankful for Wee Bowling. Not just at the Ark Encounter or things that we do, softball, other things where we have fellowship. But I'm talking about personal one-on-one fellowship saying, hey, Miss Kim, if you knew a lady that was going to church, going through a tough time, said, let's go get a cup of coffee sometime. What a blessing that would be. And I'm going to tell you, I mentioned this morning, that is the mortar to the bricks of a church. Fellowship. They had this position, and their position was unity, and it was based on common faith and communal fellowship. Something else I see, verse 46. I've got two more points here, and we'll be done. Verse 46, it says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I see progress here. They progressed. How do you know? It says, and they... What's the next word there in verse 46? Continuing. Continuing. They continued in public worship and private devotions. And we ought to continue in those things. Amen. Public worship and private devotions. Let me give you the last point, and it's a good one. The pattern of a church. A church ought to have prayer. A church ought to have people. A church ought to have patience. A church ought to have place. A church ought to have power and preaching and purpose and position and progress. And lastly, verse number 47. What's the first word, church? Praising God. A church ought to have praise. A church ought to be characterized by praise. Hey, if someone comes here and we get to singing and somebody does this, don't show them where the restroom is. Deacons will come over and say, hey, we don't, I'm picking on Brother Horse because he's a deacon. We don't do that here. Like the old deacon said about that person that got the filling of the Spirit, they went up to him and said, hey, well, you didn't get that here. Get out, you know. So we don't do that here. You didn't get that here. Amen. No, not. Hey, somebody gets to praising God, but that was a great special, by the way. Thank God for the singing lately. It's been wonderful. Miss Katie, you had that special a couple weeks ago. Bless my soul. It's okay to say, praise the Lord. It's okay to lift up holy hands. It's okay to pray. A church is about praise. That's a huge part of worship is praise. Praising Him. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Praise. I get nervous. Now listen, you folks know me. There are churches that are praise and it's crazy. Amen? Okay? Doing weird things. I don't think that's us. I hope it's not. Amen? But if a person raises their hand or claps and says, Hallelujah, in the middle of the message, I tell you what, they're just praising God. Praising God. Praise. It's a pattern of the local church. It's a pattern. I believe that every church ought to have prayer. People. And it doesn't mean huge amounts of people. Thank God. Eh? I think we all want to enlarge our coast. But I learned a few years ago, it's better to have a healthy, smaller body than a big body full of cancer. People. Patience. Oh, how we ought to be patient one with another. I have to confess to you. I rushed out yesterday. Actually, yesterday I was sick. I didn't anticipate having to go out. I performed a wedding ceremony yesterday, which was a blessing. It's the third one in the last 4 months of people that have attended our church that were living together and wanted to make things right. And by the way, that goes to that whole other issue that I was talking about earlier. I'm not going to let the immoral limit how I do God's business. Amen. And my wife had gotten home and I needed to use the car and literally I was sick all day. I still don't feel good. I'm sweaty and all that. And they called me. I thought the wedding was today in the afternoon. And Pastor Mark texted me and said, Hey, this couple's here. And I said, oh, no, it's today. And here I am. I'm like, okay, give me a half an hour. And they were fine. So Carrie had gotten home with the car, and she was getting the groceries out of the back. She had left the lift gate up in the back. And I didn't realize that the lift gate was up as I opened the garage. Brother Herb, stop laughing at me. Amen? Brother Herb knows right where this one's going. So the lift gate was up, just the glass part. It gets even better. Amen. And I got in real quick. I got to be someplace in 15 minutes. You know, I'm already late. And I just put it in gear. And I heard, oh my goodness, what on earth was that? And I looked back and the garage door was mashed. I got out, looked. And by the way, thank God the glass wasn't broken. Glass could have been broken and we could have been enjoying a 27 degree morning with broken glass, but I said, and I got out, and I'm telling you, I'm preaching on patience right now, amen. And I went back into the house, and then I looked at the garage, and then I pulled out of the street, and my neighbors must have thought I had become demon possessed or something, you know, just took off. Later on in the day, here I am, holy matrimony, amen. Let me tell you how wonderful marriage is right now. Just in case you thought your pastor was an angel, it's a fallen angel, okay? I need patience. Now I got under conviction about how little of it I had at that point. Hey, listen, patience. That's a pattern of a church. You know what it tells me? It's something we need to work on. We don't always have to give people a piece of our mind. As I say so often, most people that want to give people a piece of the mind can't spare much. Amen. Amen. People, prayer, patience, place, power, preaching, purpose, position, progress, and praise. These ought to pattern every church. Now to pattern Loomis Park Baptist Church. Father, thank you, oh Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for this church. Lord, what a body of believers. Not perfect. Lord, there are things we need to work on. There are those that have strained relationships. And it's not right, God. needs to be worked out. Need to put you right in the middle. God bless. But Lord, help us in this pattern of the local church. Lord, help us to have these things in our own lives. Help us to be people of prayer. Help us to be those that care about people. Lord, help us in our patience. Help us to be committed to gather at a place. Lord, help us to seek your power in our lives, to ask for it. Lord, help us to listen to and to submit to preaching. Lord, help us to be about the church's purpose. That is seeing people saved and seeing people baptized and helping people grow. Help us to have that position of unity. Lord, help us to progress in our lives. Lord, to be constantly growing. And Lord, help us to praise you. Lord, we thank you that we're part of the church, that you give us to be part of the church. But Lord, help us to be the pattern of a church that folks could look at and say, my church meets that pattern. My church is seeking to be filled with that type of a pattern. Lord, help us most of all in our lives to desire to please you in these areas, that we would bring you glory with our lives. Lord, we thank you for this time now that we can meet together tonight. And Lord, help us. Help us to be all that we can for you. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Bit of a strange invitation song, 53, Miss Lindsay. But I think it is always appropriate to sing about our great Savior. And I want to, listen, I know it's not much of an invitation message tonight. I want you to come if God would have you to.